Y'all know what it means when a preacher takes his watch off? Nothing. When I was in seminary, I had a friend that never been to a church that enjoyed worship. He had just been in formal churches. So I took him to one. Dr. D.E. King was down from Chicago preaching at the Monumental Baptist Church. And D.E. King could preach the heavens now. And that was a church that shouted and had a good time. And I took my friend that had never been to a church like that, and I took him, and we were in the message a little bit, and the dear lady got happy, and she started shouting and slung her bracelet off, and it flew back and hit my friend on the ear, cut his ear, and he sat there the rest of the service with a handkerchief on his ear. So I take my watch off just in case I get happy. I don't want any of y'all to get hurt. It doesn't mean I'm going to preach any shorter. It just means that you won't get hurt. If you have your Bible, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 7. 1 Samuel chapter 7. Go over to Genesis and turn right and go several books and you'll come up on 1 Samuel chapter 7. We're going to look at verse 3 and 4 tonight and think together about revival or recycling. Revival or just going through the motions. 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verses 3 and 4 says this: Then Samuel spake to all the house of Israel, saying, If you return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. So the children of Israel put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths, and serve the Lord only. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray again and ask again that you would speak to our hearts from this portion of your infallible and inerrant word. Make it come alive to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Several years ago, I'd been invited to do a Sunday through Wednesday revival down at Enterprise, Alabama. Enterprise is that town where they got a big monument to the boll weevil. Boll weevil came through and ate up all their cotton one year. They had to turn to peanuts, found out they could make more money growing peanuts. So they put this big old monument up with a boll weevil on it. I got down there on Saturday night, and when I checked in the motel, there was a sign in the lobby said, "We are sorry, our coffee machine is broken." Well, that was sad news, because I had found that in the mornings, the Lord and I have a better quiet time if we both have a cup of coffee. You know what I mean? And so I got up on Sunday morning early and was going to have a quiet time. And I remembered there was a Hardee's down the road. And so I said, well, I'll just run down there, get me a cup of coffee and bring it back. So I started to leave the motel, go get a cup of coffee, and look down at the end of the parking lot. There was an old man down there. He was rambling in the dumpster. Now, when I saw that, it just touched me. I said to myself, there's a man that's hungry. And here I am, well fed. Thomas Jefferson said some things are self-evident. And the fact that I'm well fed is one of them. And I have not seen my feet since President Truman died. And so I thought to myself, well, I'll get some money out and pull by and give that old man some money so he can get him something to eat. And I pulled down to where he was, and I rolled the window down, and I said, excuse me, sir, are you hungry? And he looked at me, and he said, no, sir. He said, I'm just recycling. I rolled my window up, and away I went. And I thought about that, y'all, so many times. Wonder how many times the Lord pulls up rolls the window down and looks at us and said, "Are you hungry for me? Do you long for me? Are you yearning for me?" And we just look at him and said, "No, sir. I'm just recycling. Lord, I'm just going through the motions. I'm just doing the same thing this week I did last week. Doing the same thing this month that I did last month. Lord, I'm doing the same thing over and again. I'm saying the same little prayers. I'm doing just the things that I've always done. Lord, I don't want a fresh touch from you. I'm just happy recycling." Israel needed revival. They had drifted from the Lord. And when they drifted from the Lord, they were defeated by their enemy. And I'm not so concerned about how they got to where they were, as I'm concerned about how they could get to where they needed to be. And you know, in my own life, it's not always a matter of how I got where I was, it's how could I get to where God wanted me to be in my life. And so God sent Samuel to the people. And God gave his people a formula of how they could experience revival in their lives. So they could quit just going through the motions, just doing the same thing over and over. He gave to them a formula of how they could experience a fresh touch from God. And so that's what I want us to look at tonight. Three or four things that God said to his people that if you'll do this, you can experience a fresh touch. You can experience revival. First thing that God had Samuel to say to God's people was this. Number one, you have to recognize the problem. You have to recognize the problem. Look at verse 3. It said, "Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, 'If you return to the Lord with all your heart.'" Now, Samuel is saying, look, God wants you to recognize that there's a problem. And he said to the people of Israel, "If you will return to the Lord." And what that meant was that they were not where they should be with the Lord. They needed to return to somewhere in their life. When I was growing up, my cousin, Teddy MacArthur LaMunyon, lived about half a mile down the road from me. And I'd go down to Teddy's house and we'd play, or he'd come up to my house and we'd play. And we had been watching Lassie on television. Y'all remember that program, Lassie, with Timmy and that collie dog, Lassie? Well, there was a time that that Timmy and his friend, and I can't remember his friend's name, but they had a yell that they would do to each other, to locate each other. And they would holler, "E-R-T, E-R-T." Anybody remember that? You remember it good. And they'd holler, "E-R-T," you know, they got in trouble. They'd holler, "E-R-T." Well, Teddy and I thought that's the grandest thing we'd ever heard. And so when I'd start home from Teddy's house, what we'd do, he'd stand in the road. And I'd walk a piece, and I'd turn around, and he'd holler, "E-R-T!" And if I could hear him, I'd wave at him. And I'd go on further, and I'd stop and turn around, "E-R-T!" And I'd wave at him, and I'd go further. And the further I went from him, the fainter it got. And finally, I could come to a point where I could turn around and I could see Teddy down there going. But I couldn't hear anything because I had gotten so far away from him, I wasn't hearing. Now, what had happened here was that God's people had gotten away from God and they weren't hearing from God like they used to. I wonder if there's anybody here tonight. Did you say, you know, that's kind of a picture to me. I know God is calling. I know God is speaking. I know God has things to say to me, but I've just drifted. I've just gotten further away. I've gotten further away. And God's voice is getting fainter And Father, I'm just not hearing from God in my life like I used to hear from God in my life. Folks, I tell you, when we get like that, we need a fresh touch from God. But we have to recognize the problem. We have to say, oh God, I've got a problem in my life. God, I'm not where I ought to be with you. A distance has developed between me and you. And we have to recognize the problem. And if we don't recognize the problem, then we'll just spend our days just recycling, just going through the motion, just playing the religion game without hearing from God, without having a fresh touch from God. And maybe the Holy Spirit has already started, or sometime in this service, the Holy Spirit will speak to somebody's heart and say, you need to recognize the problem. Second thing that God had Samuel to tell his people, he said to them, number one, you have to recognize the problem. And you know, we'll never get anywhere with God if we don't recognize that we got a problem. If we just say, hey, everything's hunky-dory, everything's wonderful, then we'll never get a fresh touch from God. But we have to recognize the problem. Second thing that God had Samuel to tell him was this. He said, you've got to remove wrong things. Not only recognize that there's a problem, but secondly, remove wrong things. Look again at verse 3. Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if you return to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and Ashtoreth from among you. Now here's what had happened. Foreign gods was present in the lives of God's people. See, God, when they had come into the promised land, God said to them, now look, you be my people. You be a holy people. You be different than everybody else. When you go into that land, don't you do what all the people around you are doing, and don't you worship what all the people around you are doing. You be my people, and you be a holy people. But what had happened was this, at this point, they had let these other gods come into their hearts and come into their homes. And I don't think it just happened all at once. I don't think they got up one day and said, okay, what are we going to do today? I know what let's do. Y'all get a truck and go over there and get us a truckload of those foreign gods and bring them over here and dump them, and we'll all have one. It didn't happen that way. What had happened was that this one began to compromise, and this person began to compromise, and that person began to compromise, and they began to be attracted by this and attracted by that, and little by little and bit by bit and choice by choice, they gradually let wrong things come into their hearts and come into their homes. It didn't just happen all at once, but bit by bit and choice by choice and little by little, they let come into their lives those things that God said, don't you let in your life. The first science fiction movie that I ever remember seeing was a movie called The Blob. Did any of y'all see that? Yeah, I thought it was about me when I saw the title, The Blob, but turned out it wasn't. And what it was about, if you didn't see it, there was this rock fell out of the sky and it burst open, and inside of it was this red blobby stuff, and it ate people. And the movie started with this boy and girl out there smooching, and that thing fell and broke, and they were playing kissy mouth like I was talking about this morning. And so it broke open. Well, they were going to go see about it. Before they got there, an old man got there, took a stick and lifted that stuff up, and it came down and got on his hand, ate him up. I mean, and the more that blob, it loved to eat people. And the more people that it ate, the bigger it got. Thus the movie. And so there was one scene in that movie. This boy and girl had stopped by the garage where her daddy worked. And they said, "Oh, thank you so much. You're a good man." And so they stopped by the garage where her daddy worked and said, "We're going to go to the house. Come on with us." And he said, "No." Said, "I'm going to work on the muffler." He was under a car on one of those little dollies working on the muffler. And they said, "No, I'm going to fix this muffler." And they said, "Come on." He said, "No." And so he was under there working. They left and the music started. You know how these music men can set the mood? And the music started, and y'all, it started getting bigger, the swelling of the music, and here that thing came under the door, and it started oozing under, and that music got ominous, and it was building up, and he's under there, and it's building up, and he's under there, and y'all, it was just more than I could stand, and I stood up in the middle of the Sandy Theater. And I hollered, "Man, you better look out. That thing's going to get you." And I wonder, the Holy Spirit might bringing something to somebody's mind right now and saying to you, "You better watch out, or that thing's going to get you. You better be careful. There's something that you're fooling with in your life, something that you're letting into your heart, something you're letting into your home. That thing's going to consume you. That thing's going to control you. That thing is going to get you." And here in Israel, they needed to have a cleaning take place. What they had let come in needed to be thrown out. And because, listen, you cannot have in your life that which God forbids and still have fellowship with God. You cannot have intimate fellowship with God while you are letting in your life and harboring in your life those things that God says don't have there. And so a cleaning needed to take place. Now, I am not going to stand here tonight and make a list of things that should not be in the lives of God's people. Not going to do it. I did not come here to make a list. But let me tell you, there is one here who makes a list. And that is the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit looks at each of our hearts. He knows the truth about us. He knows what we have let into our lives that God has said we don't need to have in our life. And right now, the Holy Spirit is the list maker, and He may be making that list in lives and saying, "This is what has got to go." Now notice in that passage that He says, you got to get rid of the foreign gods. And maybe there were some of them that said, "Okay, if that's what God wants, I'll give this up, and I'm going to give that over, and I'll give this over." But there is a little phrase in here. He said, "Put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths." Now, I've never doubted the truth of the Word of God or the fact that God put every word in the Word that's there. But I haven't always understood it. And I didn't know why He said, "Put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths." I thought, why didn't foreign gods just handle it? And I began to try to research and find out what was He saying. And what I found was this. Ashtoreth was a beloved goddess in that part of the world. That was the one little goddess that they cherished and they pampered above all others. And what God was saying was this: I want you to put away the foreign gods And I want you to put away that little darling, that one little thing out of your life that you're cherishing, that little thing that you're clinging to, that little thing that you're pampering in your heart. I want you to lay it down also. See, everybody has those things that we would be willing to say, okay, Jesus, if you want that, you can have that. If you want this, you can have this. If this is what you want, you can have that. And he says, yeah, but what about the Ashtoreth? What about that little thing you're hiding? What about that little thing nobody knows about but God and you? What about that little beloved, that little thing that you cherish, and when nobody's around, you get it out and you pamper it, and it's special to you, and you hide it. And God said, I'm coming after you, darling. I'm coming after the one thing that you cherish most in your heart. And so he says, you got to recognize the problem, and secondly, you got to remove wrong things. Third thing that he says we have to do to experience revival, not only recognize a problem, not only remove the wrong that God speaks to us about, but number three, we have to renew our heart. Renew our heart. Look at verse 3 again. Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel saying, if you return to the Lord with all your heart, put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreth from among you. Here it is. And prepare your heart for the Lord. He said, get your heart right. Several years ago, I went to visit a man over in Birmingham. He was a member at Fairview, and I went to visit him. Got over there, and he said to me what you never want, a preacher never wants to hear from one of his members. Now, Brother Robert would never tell you this, but I'm going to let you in on a preacher's secret. We do not want to see, when you're in the hospital, we do not want to see what they took out of you. Okay? I've been there so many times, and folks say, I had gallbladder surgery. Let me show you what they got out of me. And y'all, I bet you I have seen enough gallstones to pave a driveway. And worse than that, preacher, let me show you what they took out of me. Let me show you where they took it. If all the scars that I have seen were laid end to end, I believe they'll reach the other side of Chattanooga, Tennessee. We love you, but we don't want to see what they took out of you. And I went to see this man. He said, preacher, let me show you something. I just kind of cringed and said, okay. He reached down and picked up some x-rays, held them up to the light, and I could see that it was an x-ray of a heart. He said, this is my heart. And he said, now look right here. Said, this one's 80% blocked. This one's 70% blocked. This one's 90% blocked. And I thought, man, you're about dead. And he was about dead. He said, but tomorrow. He said, tomorrow, that great cardiologist, Dr. Kirkland, he gonna go in and do bypass on me and fix my heart. And the next day he did. And a few days later, the man was home. He's still alive and strong today. Why? Because the great heart doctor got a hold of his heart. Do you know what God's people need? People need the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ, to get a hold of our hearts, because our hearts get cold and our hearts get cluttered and our hearts get clogged. And Samuel, God said, Samuel, you go tell my people, recognize the problem. Remove the wrong and let your heart be renewed. Let God renew your heart, because we need to crave Him. We need to long for Him. We need to want Him. We need to seek Him again as His people. When we have spiritual heart trouble, folks, we'll spend our days just going through the motions. We'll spend our days just recycling, just over and over doing the same thing when we need a touch from the Lord. So he says, recognize the problem. As God reveals it, remove the wrong, and don't forget that little thing we're cherishing, we're hiding in our heart. Don't forget it. And renew your heart. One last thing that we'll share, and that is this. Respond to the opportunity. Respond to the opportunity. Look at verse 4. So the children of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtoreths and serve the Lord only. And serve the Lord only. Did you hear what happened? When they heard what God said to them, when Samuel spoke to them, and Samuel said to them, you got to recognize there's a problem. You got to remove the wrong as God reveals it. You got to let your heart be renewed. When they heard that, they responded to it, and the Bible said the children of Israel put the stuff out of their life. They got right with God. They responded to the opportunity that God gave to them. They decided, man, things have got to change. We're just recycling. We're in trouble. There's a distance between us and God. He's speaking, but we're not hearing Him. We need a touch from God. And they repented. They removed what was wrong. Their hearts were renewed and they were restored. You can go on and read the rest of the story. They got a fresh touch from God. And they experienced victory in their life. Now, folks, we're at a point like they were. We need a fresh touch of God. We need revival. I can tell you, every church that I know of needs revival. Needs a fresh move of God. A fresh touch of Almighty God. And the formula that He gave then is the formula that He's giving today. And we face a choice. We can just keep on keeping on doing the same thing we've been doing, and we'll get the same results that we've been getting. But if we get hungry, if we really long for a fresh touch from Almighty God, He is more than ready and willing to give it to us. And it'll come. It'll come. Over in the book of Ezekiel, God said, I searched for a man among them who would stand in the gap so I didn't have to bring judgment on the nation. Listen, God is looking tonight for somebody. He's looking for a man. He's looking for a woman. He's looking for a young person. God is looking for somebody that still is hearing Him call, and somebody who is willing to take the steps in their life and cry out to Him and say, oh God, I want revival in my heart. Because listen to me, revival will never come to a church until revival comes to individual Christians. One by one by one by one, as we get right with God, put away the foreign things, the things that ought not to be. Cry out to God. Renew our heart. When we get revived, the church will be revived. And I believe with all my heart that God is waiting for His people to cry out to Him. I believe He's pulled up and rolled the window down and said to us here at State Line tonight, are you hungry for me? Are you hungry for me? And we face a choice, looking at Him and saying, no, Lord, I'm just going to go on like I was, just go on recycling. And he's waiting for us to cry out, oh God, I want to be revived. I want to be revived so God, we can hear you anew and afresh. Let's pray together. Tonight, God may be speaking to somebody in this building, and He may be speaking to many bodies in this building. Right now, He may be saying, you're the one that I'm looking for. You're the person that I'm wondering, will you cry out to me? Will you turn to me? Will you call to me to bring revival in your own heart? And He longs to do that. And He's waiting. Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that you would move among us. God, help us to recognize that we've got spiritual problems. God, help us to remove the things that you show us have got to go for us to be what we need to be. And oh God, we pray that tonight we would have our hearts renewed as you touch us by your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray for one here tonight that may not be saved, that tonight they would give their heart to Jesus as Lord of their life. Father, glorify yourself in this invitation time, we pray. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Robert.